Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, on this rainy Monday in the nation's capital, Monday Night Football, a little over 5 hours away from kickoff at Northwest Stadium. They want you to wear the black tonight because the Commanders will be wearing black. They're also celebrating and honoring the U.S. Navy. So make sure you check out some of the activation stuff that they have at the stadium. For that, it's the 250th anniversary. So they will have special game day tributes during Monday Night Football, on the field in the end zone as they normally do. Even if you're Army, even if you're Marine, whatever. I mean, just, of course, right? Just make sure that you're doing the right and appropriate thing. They're going to have a game ball delivery by a retired Navy SEAL. They're going to have the national anthem by a retired Navy petty officer. They're going to have honorary captain, Secretary of the Navy, John Phelan, and a retired Navy SEAL and Medal of Honor recipient, Edward Byers. USAA is going to be involved. They're going to be representing, recognizing a family that is... their son, unfortunately, killed in action. So all sorts of different activations and all sorts of different tributes that the Commanders are planning tonight. Now, real quickly, I just wanted to say this, that even if the Commanders lose tonight and drop to 3-3, and, you know, look, the road ahead is pretty tough, right? At Dallas, that's a high-octane offense. Not a good defense, but that's a high-octane offense on a short week. At Kansas City, Rashee Rice just came back today, so he'll be totally ready to go for two Monday nights from now. Again, not going to be easy. But if they win tonight, and if they can find a way to just get, again, to 4-2, it allows you to essentially, if you look at it from this perspective, lose the next two games after tonight against the Cowboys on the road on a short week and their offense, and against Kansas City on a longer week, but with Rashee Rice back. And again, you saw what they did to Detroit last night. And they seem to be clicking now. It allows you that while also allowing you to be at worst at that point, 4-4. And through basically the first half of your season at .500. I know that's not what anybody really wants. But if you win tonight, it guarantees at least that. And to me, the NFL is about attrition, right? You exchange some punches, some haymakers in the first half of the season. It's really about where you are in December, what you do in the second half of the season, what you do down the stretch. Again, nobody wants them to lose games. But winning tonight assures you of being no worse than .500 at essentially the halfway mark. All right, just wanted to get that out. My guy Jason and Laurel is with us right here. Jason, did I hear right on Coach Sheehan's show there at the end? You're picking a blowout tonight?
So Rooster, I did say that, but I tell you, your opening monologue, you made me change my mind.
Uh-oh.
So, yeah, on Sheehan's show, I said 45-17, all three phases score, and this is the first of starting a six-game winning streak. I'm going to amend this a little bit because of what you said. I, too, I love going the other way sometimes, and I think you're right. I think Chicago is going to try to stiffen up their run defense the best they can. So I will amend what I think is going to happen here slightly. I wish Cliff would take a slobber knocker attitude in this game, but let's be honest, that's not Cliff. But I do think Cliff is really smart. So instead of taking a slobber knocker attitude in this game, I think we're going to show a lot of 11 and 12 personnel and then run RPO stuff. I think between our tight ends and running backs, I bet those guys get 12 receptions tonight. And I think we start off showing run, but actually throwing the ball and work into maybe running more in the second half.
Hmm.
But I think he's going to attack it from a different angle, because I agree with your premise. I think Chicago is going to say, you know what, we're not good at this. These guys are really good at this. We've got to do something different. So we might get a little couple different looks. And I think Cliff will counter that by showing run, but actually, you know,
so am I on the same page as you as like, if we're both thinking like Cliff Kingsbury, right? Do you come out with a lot of 12 personnel and maybe even 13 personnel using three tight ends, heavy, heavy run look and passing out of that? Meaning try and fool the Bears into thinking, yes, we're trying to run. We're trying to run with extra tight ends in the game, what have you, but throw out of it.
That's exactly what I think is going to happen. And I got to be honest with you, that was not my thought until I heard your opening monologue and I sat down and I thought about it. I was like, you know what? They're not going to just continue to do what they've been doing, because that would be the definition of insanity. And they might be that bad of a coaching staff, but I don't know that they are yes or no yet. So I do think we come out a lot in 11 and 12, show heavy, heavy run. I want to see lots of Trent Scott. Maybe Trent Scott catches a catch tonight.
Mm.
I do think they should win this game, and I still think defense and special teams might score today.
You know what I would love? Now, this is the vindictive side of me. This is the petty jealous side of me. You mentioned Trent Scott catching the touchdown. He did that week 3 Monday Night Football, as we all remember last year. Mm-hmm. You're right. I would love for them to run like a flea flicker and a bomb to, like, I don't know, McCaffrey or Jalen Lane against Ben Johnson, because apparently he's the only guy in America in the history of football that can design trick plays. Apparently. Nobody else can. Apparently. According to some.
Chris, I got to be honest with you. I don't understand the hype behind Ben Johnson. I think Ben Johnson is a decent offensive coordinator, but I got to tell you, I'd take Cliff over him. I would, and I think there's a lot of coaches, the whole Shanahan tree, I'd take all those guys over him. But it is funny, like, how he's kind of revered, and I don't really get it. But that's just me.
I think he's better than you're giving him credit for. What I challenge is that he's, like, so remarkably different that all of this pageantry, all of this hoopla, all of this, like, oh, he's just the greatest thing in the world. I mean, I see trick plays in almost every game. In almost every game. The reason why the Lions were so successful under Ben Johnson is because they have
a great roster.
Incredible personnel. And by the way, the Bears have really good offensive personnel too. Now, what they don't have is that home run hitter like a Jahmyr Gibbs out of the running back spot. That's what they don't have. But remember last year, I just want to double check this. Remember DeAndre Swift, who is still arguably their number one running back? I mean, he had a 56-yard touchdown run off the left end, virtually untouched against Washington.
I think that'll be the biggest difference in this game, is I don't think they'll have the running room they had against us last year. And, you know, it is interesting. They're putting a new left tackle in tonight, although I think the inside pressure with Payne and Kinlaw would be more disruptive than what maybe Armstrong is on the edge. But I think we have enough to win this game. I was telling AMAC, what happened Thursday night makes this a huge spot. We have seen this team fall in this spot so many times. I bet this team doesn't fall. In fact, I think they're going to win handedly. But maybe the first and second quarter will be a little closer than I'd like. But I think when it's all said and done, I think the coaching, I think we're going to prevail. Because I we're way better than them from A to Z. Ben Johnson might be better than Cliff, but A to Z and our coaching staff, we got a better staff. I think it makes us win this week. Chris, thank you so much, man.
Appreciate you, man.
A pleasure.
Thank you, Jason. Good to hear from you. That's my guy, Jason, and Laurel, always good and always comes to the table. So we convinced him a little bit that it might be a closer game, that the Commanders might not dominate on the ground. Now, again, if they play a ton of man and their backs are constantly turned to Jaden and they don't adjust and Jaden peels off, that number that I keep talking about, 135, 140, somewhere in that range, might be higher than I'm anticipating it. I don't know. I can't possibly know. What I refuse to do, what I absolutely refuse to do, is just sit here and go, well, the Bears average over 6 yards per carry allowed run defense, and the Commanders are the number one run defense, run offense in the league. So that's obviously a huge mismatch, and it's absolutely going to go that way. I can't do that, guys. I've seen football played way too much at way too high of a clip for me to go, oh, well, the numbers tell me that. So that absolutely is going to be this the way this game turns out. Now, will I be happy to be wrong if they get 200-plus rushing yards for a third home game this season? Hell yeah. Absolutely. Do I think it's probably going to the Bears' emphasis on controlling, not shutting down, controlling the run and making sure Jaden doesn't beat them again with their backs turned? Do I think that's going to lead to some things in the passing game? Yeah. And man, as I told Jason, I would just love. I mean, I would be happier than a pig in poop. And do you know how happy pigs are in poop? If you don't know, you haven't hung around too many pigs. They love poop. I would be happier than a pig in poop to say and to see the Commanders run a flea flicker off of some kind of jet sweep motion and dial one up. Dial one up. And it doesn't have to be for a touchdown. I mean, it could be for 40 yards. But again, Ben Johnson is considered by some to be the only guy, the most creative guy in the world, in the universe, since sliced bread. I would love that. I would love that. Wouldn't you? Wouldn't that be fun if the Commanders ultimately win this game and they beat little Benny and the Bears with a little dose of his own medicine? I would love it. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. We'll take a look around the rest of the NFL and squeeze in your calls. Don't forget Johnny Newton still to come. Just a short conversation with Johnny from Saturday in the Commanders locker room. We'll do that straight ahead right here on the Team 980.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Two quick NFL things, and then Johnny Newton in just a second for a quick three-minute conversation from Saturday in the locker room. Dolphins head coach Mike McDaniel, after hearing Tua Tagovailoa throw his teammates under the bus by saying they don't show up on time to meetings, quote, after a loss as the franchise quarterback, that's not the forum to displace that. I think he knows that now. There was no ill intention, but a misguided representation of player-orchestrated film sessions, end quote. And earlier in the show, I thought it was this, but I had to do some research and double-check. Ari Myrov of 33rd Team, I think he now works for. He's bounced around. At my sports update, which is still the worst Twitter handle in the world, put up this. Brian Callahan, who's been fired as the Titans head coach, was hired last offseason. Not this past offseason, the offseason before. The same one that Dan Quinn was hired. He was hired by former general manager Rand Carthon, who was fired this past offseason. Mike Borgonzi, the former Kansas City assistant GM, was then hired, and now Brian Callahan's been fired after a 1-5 start. So I thought it was that, but I just wanted to double check, and Ari kind of did the work on the timeline. You knew when they hired a new GM that Brian Callahan was a dead man walking, and a slow start would lead to what happened today. Nobody should be surprised. Nobody should be surprised. But boy, you want to talk about anarchy and up and down, just instability in every way down in Tennessee. That's it, man. Because it goes beyond that, but nobody cares. Point being is, what a mess. We used to have a mess constantly. We're no longer that organization. All right, a quick conversation with my guy, Johnny Newton, and then we'll get to my other guy, Double A, on the other side. Johnny Newton, who had a sack and a pass deflection that led to the San Ristil interception at the goal line last week, part of a Commanders runaway 27-10 victory from Saturday in the Commanders locker room right here.
All right, here with Johnny Newton, Monday Night Football. I mean, obviously, you know, you guys have played in some big primetime games, clinched a playoff spot last year against Atlanta on a Sunday night, but this is a pretty big stage, right? Always fun to get out there under the primetime lights.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. We set the tone last year, and this year it's a standard. And just coming in weekly, wanting to raise that standard, the whole team.
I remember the pregame for that Sunday night game against Atlanta that you guys clinched the playoffs. I mean, the place was louder than I remember. I've been around 15, 16 years.
Yeah.
Like, did that give you guys an emotional lift, especially? I mean, you know, you play home games all the time, and you played, obviously, in front of big crowds your whole career. But did that give you an extra lift, if you remember?
Yeah, for sure. Whenever the fans bring energy, it gives the players energy. We see them hype, cheering loud, waving their flashes around. That's like an instant boost for us. Mm-hmm. Like, man, if they that engaged, then we got to take it up an extra notch as well. So I feel like the fans always are 12th player.
You had one of the 5 sacks last week in Los Angeles. How do you feel individually you're coming on? Because everybody's now starting to talk about, okay, he's hitting his stride. This is what, you know, what they loved about him. Like, how do you feel? Where do you feel you're at?
I feel good, you know. Like you said, I had a decent game last week, but I just want to give a shout out to all my vets. Sheldon Day, he, that's my preparation guy. He helps me evaluate everything. He's the one who gets me right every week. So I give a big shout out to Sheldon, Deron, Kenlaw, Eddie, like all of those guys. I just pick out different pieces of their game and try to apply it to my game. So just chewing off those pieces and learning as I go.
You had the deflection on what ultimately turns out to be the Mikey interception at the goal line.
Yeah.
You know, every defensive line coach, defensive coordinator that I've covered, worked around, whatever, is just like, hey, if you can't get there, obviously get your hand up. Is there, like, a secret sauce to that? Like, man, the timing, are you waiting for the quarterback to cock his arm? What are you waiting for to get your hand up in the right spot, I guess?
Yeah, for sure. It's crazy because that week, Coach Tapp and Coach Whitworth, like, implying it heavy that we need to get our hand up because he's a tall guy. So whenever he throws, it'll come down. That's the trajectory of the pass. So when I hit that, I just instantly thought of that. Mm. But I want to say there's no perfect timing. I just knew I wasn't going to be able to get there. I knew it was going to be a quick pass. If not, we'd probably get there and mess up his angle. So I know I had to get my hand up quick.
So there was a little more, you're saying, emphasis from D-Tap and the rest of, and Sharif and, you know, all those guys, because of Herbert's size, because of his frame.
Yeah.
Interesting. Is there, like, when you're obviously engaged and trying to get where you, and push, right, how is it difficult to disengage and get your hand up, or is it easier because, you know, you kind of, like, know how to kind of bend and manipulate, I guess, your body?
Yeah, it just depends. Some guys are really strong. Some guys, I could just toss their ass back and put my hand up. So it really is just a me thing, like me getting inside hand leverage and getting extension on them. If I have extension on them, then I could just put my hand up right in and there.
I got you. Thanks for your time. Appreciate you. Good luck tonight.
Appreciate that.
All right, that's Johnny Newton. Johnny Newton, second-year defensive tackle, part of the rotation there. And, boy, if him and Jordan McGee, again, can make the kind of contribution that they made last week in the Charger win, every week or almost every week, this defense is going to be a lot better. A lot better. That goes without saying, but a lot better. Don't forget, Jonathan Jones is on his way back. So that's going to help too, right? And right now, Dorrance Armstrong is playing at an extremely high level. Von Miller is starting to feel it a little bit. Had a sack and a half last week. Jacob Martin, Deron Payne, when he wants to play, Deron Payne can be almost dominant. When he wants to play. And I know it's not easy. All right, let's get to my guy, Double A, Athan in Annapolis here before the bottom of the hour. What up, Double A? How are you, pal?
I will be in the vicinity tonight. I will be at this venue, and I will be representing your son along with me. So autographs will be going out. Yep, Tyler will be taking orders tonight for his signature, so I will be helping do the collection for that.
Yeah, well,
we were talking about this earlier.
I was going to say you can pass the financial rewards on to me, because what happens ultimately is everything that I make just goes right back to him and my daughter.
Well, it's the circle of life; it comes full. So yeah, that's not right. So okay. I'll send you a Venmo at halftime to see so you can see where we're at.
All right, thank you. I appreciate that. Very kind of you. So what do you think about tonight? And are you super confident? I am not. I mean, I'm sure it sounds like it. Like, I'm picking the Commanders to win the game, but I think it'll be a closer game. You know, I had it as a 3-point win the other day. I'm pretty much still there. Like, I don't feel like this is going to be easy, whereas I think a lot of people think this is going to be easy.
It's not going to be easy, but if you're a good team right now, you win this game. You're at home. It's going to be a packed house, and it's not a lot of dialogue for me to go into. You're better than you were last year. You're the best running team in football. You can control the clock by running the football. You have the better two of the quarterbacks, and I think you have the better of the defense. I will probably make Montez Sweat somehow look like an all-pro out there tonight, but other than that, I just the way I look at it is this: we have the better coaching staff, we have the better quarterback, we have the better offensive line. The defense just has to find a way with that guy you just interviewed. He needs to start living up to his potential. You know, he was either Bucky Irving or him, and look how that's turned out so far. So hopefully him, along with many others, like Marshon Lattimore, doesn't go out there tonight and look what's his number two, Moore? He doesn't make him look like he did a few years ago when I was at that game at halftime. That's what can't happen tonight. So
that was not Lattimore. That was you're thinking, oh God, what was the veteran corner? I know St. Juice was involved in some of that, but there was another veteran corner that you're thinking of. I have to think about it.
Well the receiver was not for Chicago.
DJ Moore.
DJ Moore. That's it. Yeah, we can't make him look like Jerry Rice out there tonight, and neither Roma Dunze. We've got to do our job. So I just look at it like this. You're going to Dallas this Sunday, short week. You know you're going to deal with a potent offense. That's going to be a shootout probably. You can't leave any doubt while you're going on the road for the next game. You're the better team. If you're a playoff team right now, what people think you are, then you go win this game tonight. That's really just my take on it. If you're a good team, you win this game tonight.
Yeah,
if you
agree.
You're not where you want to be yet.
I agree. So. And you know, again, you're going to need some chips in the bank because the schedule coming up is not easy. I mean, think about it. I mentioned at Dallas on a short week this Sunday and then at Kansas City, and they're getting Rashee Rice back to what they already have. But then think about it. On another short week, they have Seattle on Sunday Night Football, right?
Yeah.
I mean, like, they don't have a so-called easy game, so-called, until, I think, Miami in Spain. So,
and you're playing the Chiefs in Kansas City where they had no penalties last night.
Well,
go figure on that one.
Yeah, that was fun. That was fun. Thank you, pal. Appreciate you. I'll try and see you at the game tonight if we can hook up. I appreciate you. That's my guy, Athan in Annapolis. When we come back, we will spin you around the NFL a little bit from yesterday's action as we make our way to Monday Night Football right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, so as we mentioned, the Tennessee Titans become the first NFL team to fire their head coach today. That's Brian Callahan after a 1-5 start, 4-19 overall since taking over for Mike Vrabel, who ironically makes his return to Nashville this Sunday with his new team, the New England Patriots, and Drake May. So Callahan out. We still haven't received word of an interim head coach just yet, and whether his dad, Bill Callahan, former longtime Commanders and Redskins assistant, I should say Redskins assistant, he was here during that period, whether or not he will be staying on the staff with his son fired. Two Monday night games tonight, not just the Commanders, and of course the Chicago Bears at 8:15. First up, it's the Atlanta Falcons hosting the Buffalo Bills at just past 7 o'clock. From college football, Bill Belichick slamming rumors that he's about to leave North Carolina or at the end of the year as categorically false, says he loves what they're building down there. Penn State's athletic director saying that James Franklin's big game record played a role in his firing. So did losing in back-to-back weeks to 20-plus point underdogs. The AD, Pat Kraft, said, quote, "I'm here to win a national championship, and I believe our fans deserve that." Franklin served as the head coach for 12 years, a 0-3 start in Big Ten play, again, including two back-to-back losses to UCLA and Northwestern, who were both 20-plus point underdogs. And the Capitals return to action tomorrow night against the Tampa Bay Lightning. They are off today after sweeping a back-to-back set in New York. Tampa is playing this afternoon. They lead the Boston Bruins 4-3 with 3.5 minutes left to go in the third period before coming here. And that's what's trending.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, before we get to the rest of the league, I did find that number that I was looking for earlier about the Commanders' pass rush and getting to Caleb Williams quick. Here it is. From last week, Next Gen Stats, the Commanders averaged a 2.25 second time to pressure against the Chargers. 2.25 seconds is what they averaged. That's the ninth fastest of any team and the fastest mark for the Commanders this year. So ninth fastest of any team in the NFL this year, fastest mark for the Commanders this year. 9 of 13 pressures were considered quick, under 2.5 seconds, with 7 different Commanders defenders recording at least one quick pressure, a season-high mark for the Commanders defense. Now, that's a bunch of word salad, right? A bunch of gobbledygook, as I like to kind of call it, right? And to some degree, yes, it is. But I would also tell you this, right? When you look at Caleb Williams, right? Like, for instance, it's defined as under 2.5 seconds is a quick dropback type. In rhythm is 2.5 seconds to 4 seconds. Extended is 4-plus seconds. The NFL average is 2.75 seconds. So Caleb Williams, okay, just using him as an example, his time to throw, which is from the snap until he releases the ball, is the highest among NFL quarterbacks, according to Next Gen Stats. The highest.
You mean he's taking the longest?
Yes.
Gotcha.
3.17 seconds on average, time to throw. The next closest quarterback is, you want to take a guess?
Does it have to do with me?
Not you specifically, but somebody we discussed this morning. Somebody that got Justin Fields. Yeah, somebody that got ambushed yesterday.
Yeah.
Okay. Justin Fields, 3.01 seconds, and he got sacked 9 times and was scared as all scared could be yesterday against a ferocious Broncos pass rush. But think about that. Caleb Williams is getting rid of the ball faster, quicker, I think, than he was last year, pre-Ben Johnson. But, and again, it doesn't all, actually, he's not. He's actually holding on to the ball longer, according to the time-to-throw statistics, last year for the entire year, 17-game sample size, as opposed to a 4-game sample size, 2.92. Okay? So this year, he's holding on to the ball longer. But it seems when I watch Caleb Williams and the Bears, when I watch the tape, it seems like Caleb Williams is doing a better job of not only not taking as many sacks, and part of that is a much better offensive line, but also it seems like he's getting rid of the ball quicker. That's what it seems like. But the numbers tell you he's not. And actually, it's worse than it was last year.
Ben Johnson?
Well, I mean, I thought Ben Johnson was a miracle worker.
Yeah.
So he's actually holding onto the ball longer. Now, the way, again, it's kind of described by Next Gen Stats is that is still considered in rhythm. Up to 4 seconds is still considered in rhythm. But the NFL average is 2.75 seconds. And Caleb Williams was just over that last year and is significantly above that this year. Like, as a matter of fact, last year's leader in time to throw was Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson, obviously a major scrambler, improviser, playmaker, what have you. He's always going to hold on to the ball long. Caleb Williams has a lot of those traits, but he doesn't have necessarily the the joystick just destroy you in space downhill traits that Lamar has or Jaden has. But Lamar Jackson was 3.14 last year, time to throw. Now, that's based on 17-game sample size. Whereas Caleb Williams, again, was 2.92. But this year, again, Caleb Williams threw a small sample size of four games is by far the number one quarterback in terms of holding on to the ball longer. From snap to release, 3.17 seconds. Justin Fields at 3.01 seconds. Jalen Hurts, 2.98 seconds. Cam Ward, 2.95 seconds. Lamar, before his injury in four games, was down to 2.87 seconds time to throw. And just in case you're curious, Jaden Daniels, in his three games, 2.83 seconds, which is 13th highest in the NFL. So I don't know what that tells you, man. But the opportunity is there. The opportunity is there to get pressure, to get quarterback hits, to get heat, to get sacks tonight. Because Caleb will give you a chance if you can get home. If you can get home. All right, let's do this real quickly before we take a final timeout for Dum Dum of the Day. Yesterday in the NFL, and we'll do more obviously tomorrow. Tomorrow will be largely about the Commanders Bears, but just a couple of quick things since we last left you on Friday. We mentioned how terrible Justin Fields was. I don't think we need to spend a lot of time on that. Aaron Glenn getting all pissed off that somebody had the audacity to ask him if he's going to get benched. Listen, Justin Fields stinks. He stinks consistently as a passer, period. End of story. I could tell you that. I've told you that every chance I get. Yes, sure. Every chance I get since his final season in Columbus, nobody cared. Nobody wants to listen. I was right. You were all wrong. Here's Aaron Glenn getting asked. It's a little bit difficult to hear because the questioner is not on mic, but you'll get it. And listen to Aaron Glenn's response.
Numbers are not good from this game. Is he going to be your quarterback next week, or would you consider?
What kind of question is that?
Look, he did not have a good game. I mean, I think it's a fair question.
There's a number of guys that, you know, I mean, sometimes this league is like this, and there are guys that have bad games. That doesn't mean you just bench them. Come on, you know better than that.
I mean, like, Aaron Glenn can be tough guy. What kind of question is this? Come on, you know better than that. Like, that would be great if we were talking about Jaden Daniels or Drake May. That would be great if we were talking about, I don't know, a really good quarterback, Justin Herbert. You get the point. That would be great. Justin Fields is an athletic quarterback. He's a well-liked guy. He can run and make plays with his legs. He had 7 carries, 31 yards, 7 scrambles, 31 yards. He took 9 sacks. 9. Now, some of that is clearly on the offensive line. Some of that is just a tip of the cap to the Broncos, who are awesome. And by the way, Jaden Daniels is going to probably get sacked 4 or 5 times when the Broncos are here on Sunday night in about a month or so. Okay? They're that good. But you cannot, under any circumstances, none, take 9 sacks. You can't. If you do, you should not be playing quarterback in the NFL. Remember what happened to Sam Howell week 3 a couple of years ago against Buffalo? Remember what happened to John Beck way back in 2011 in Toronto against the Bills? Got sacked 10 times? You can't. You cannot. I know the Broncos are awesome. Justin Fields has no clue what's going on half the time as a thrower, as a passer. And when NFL teams are going to figure this out, and when fans are going to figure this out, and when knucklehead analysts are going to figure this out, I have no idea. All right, let's take a timeout. We'll get to the rest of the NFL probably tomorrow in the 3 o'clock hour after we get a little burnt down from talking about the Commanders and the Bears. Maybe it'll bleed into Wednesday. We have plenty of time. Don't worry. One thing we are not short of here is time. So let's take a time out that we have to do and come back. Wrap up the show. Burgundy and Gold today on the way. And we'll come back with Dum Dum of the Day. Stay tuned. Alrighty, we haven't gotten to this yet, but it fits perfectly. Last night, in case you weren't still watching NBC and the end of Sunday Night Football, Brian Branch of the Detroit Lions, who everybody loves, good player, at the end of a 30-17 loss, acted like a fool, like a sore loser times 10. He walked past Patrick Mahomes, who attempted to shake his hand, right? After he refused to shake Mahomes' hands, maybe you think he didn't see it, he walked up to Juju Smith-Schuster and slapped him in the helmet, which started a massive brawl. He's going to get punished by the league. He should get suspended, quite honestly. If the league has any guts, which it doesn't, he would get suspended. He then defended his actions while saying it was wrong in the locker room, by saying he was blocked in the back by Juju Smith-Schuster with about 3 minutes and 26 seconds left to go in the game, and it wasn't called, so he was mad about that. Here's his head coach, Dan Campbell, who was mad about Branch.
Let's start with this. I love Brian Branch, but what he did is inexcusable, and it's not going to be accepted here. It's not what we do. It's not what we're about. I apologize to Coach Reed and the Chiefs and Schuster. That's not okay. We that's not what we do here, and it's not going to be okay. He knows it. Our team knows it, and so that's not what we do.
All right, that is head coach Dan Campbell of the Detroit Lions. You heard what he had to say. Branch said, quote, "It was a childish thing, but I'm tired of people doing stuff in between the play and refs don't catch it. They be trying to bully me out there. I should have never did it. It was childish." Yes, it was childish. Yes, I get that you're frustrated. But you're also a sore loser. You're also immature for allowing frustrations on a football field to build up to a point where you're that angry. This is how we have the problems in America that we do. When people don't know how to handle their frustrations and their anger. And sometimes, guess what? That's me. And sometimes that's Brian Branch. And sometimes that's hockey players. And sometimes that's bad. You get the point. Sometimes it's all of us. But when you do it on NBC on Sunday Night Football, I got to call you out. I got to call you out. As immature, I got to call you out as a sore loser as well. Yeah, Brian Branch. I mean, he's a great player. And the Lions lost last night. I'm sure frustrated and whatever. We'll see them a week from tonight against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who just keep kicking ass without any wide receivers. And they might not be without, they might be without Emeka Ebuka next Monday night as well. We'll see if they get Evans. We'll see if they get Godwin. We'll see if they get Bucky Irvin back. Baker Mayfield's awesome. He's the MVP right now. It's hard to question that, just considering what he is going through. All right. We'll see you tonight at Northwest Stadium. Be safe out there. Enjoy. Don't do anything stupid. We're coming at you. Get out of my way. Thanks to AMAC. Thanks to Johnny Newton as well, and thanks to you guys for chiming in. Linnell Willingham, Burgundy and Gold today is next. See you tomorrow at 1. Go Commanders.
Well, thank you. Yeah, you can go sit down, Rooster. Goodbye.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.